Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. And your smart speaker. Say, play ESPN. We're right there. Download the podcast. Yes, Key, I did like it. If I had to say if it was my favorite halftime show, the answer is yes. I don't care about the halftime show, but this is probably my favorite one.
I understand. One of 120 million people.
That's
right.
I'm one out of 120 million. That's a good thing to be.
You're unique. Yeah. You're a unicorn.
You're unique.
That's
you
right.
You want to get up and go get some more ice. Wash your hands.
A very rare occurrence, you know, a very rare kind of person, a Randy Moss, a Keyshawn Johnson.
No, let me say that.
Let me put my
name with Randy Moss.
A Michael Jordan or a Jay Will.
No.
No?
Mm-mm. I'll stop you.
You're going to stop me
right
there.
I will stop you.
All right, look. Matthew Stafford, who, since he entered the league, more fourth quarter comebacks than any quarterback in the game. Yeah, but why is he falling behind? He's throwing interceptions. Well, he's on a bad Detroit team. He's trying to win the game. Not worry about his stats. What would happen if you put him on a real contender? Well, they did it. They went all in to get him. Year one, he won the Super Bowl.
Paid off.
Tom Brady brought him all the way back. It's going to be another Falcons Super Bowl type thing. And of course, Brady's going to. Stafford, give me that ball. Boom, boom. Rams win just like that. Go home, Brady. Retired him. Okay? How about Joe Burrow, the anointed one? Here it comes. Burrow got the ball with a minute 12. I know it's going to. Nope. Stafford won the game. Because the last scoring play, 79-yard drive, a million, you know, like, he just made all the plays. So, Sean McVay, after the game, guys, said what a lot of people were saying going into the game about Matthew Stafford. Listen.
What else can you say? You know, everybody talks about the playoffs. How clutch was this guy in all four playoff games? And he delivered in the most crucial moments.
Every time.
Really, you know, and everybody wants to talk about interceptions. Well, the one great opportunity throw down here in the corner. And then on the other one, it's a tip ball that goes right to him.
Yeah.
This guy's a baller. He's so much better than anybody ever thought. He makes everybody around him better, and that's what the greats do. He's a great one. I don't know how he's not a gold jacket guy.
Well, we were all saying, wins the Super Bowl, probably punches his ticket to Canton.
Yeah. But,
yep. You think so? You think so, Key?
Absolutely. It punches his ticket to Canton.
So
you got to look at his first 12 seasons in Detroit. He's got a lot of great numbers, right? He's got big numbers. Calvin Johnson's a Hall of Fame receiver that went in, almost helped him get to 2,000 yards. Cooper Kupp, another guy who almost got to 2,000 yards, messing around with Matthew Stafford. Then you look at this year, what the numbers are, blah, 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 blah. Then you look at the next 4 years that he'll be a L.A. Ram, and look what those numbers will be. You start putting the numbers together. He'll have the numbers. He'll check the Super Bowl box. Why couldn't he be in Canton? If we're having conversations about Phillip Rivers or we're having conversations about Eli Manning, Mr. Clutch playoffs, why? I mean, like, come on now. Let's be real with it.
Jay Hall of Famer, yes or no, right now. He'd have my vote right now. If he retired today, won the Super Bowl, has all the numbers, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think he'll get in. I don't. You know, it's interesting when everything about Matthew Stafford, I know some people see him in this elite light. I see him as a good quarterback. I do. I don't know. You know, we kicked off the show earlier, and there were names like John Elway and some of the other legendary greats. And I know that the stats will, you know, help out for Matthew Stafford in this case. And look, his career isn't done yet either. So with the way the NFC is looking, they could be back in this conversation next year, maybe the year after. So we may be having a different conversation when it's all said and done. But I think what I saw this year was somebody that came through in the clutch and somebody that managed a game and did it correctly.
We see it the same way. Dominique Foxworth, however, doesn't see it exactly that way. Listen.
I mean, he's a Super Bowl champion. That's awesome. He didn't get the MVP, which is a rarity, I feel like, for a quarterback. He's had a pretty impressive career and an interesting run here in L.A., and he won a Super Bowl. I think he's going to be remembered as being a lot better quarterback than he actually was because he has incredible, like, big numbers. And we're going to remember this last run and the no-look pass for the touchdown, game-winning drive. We're going to remember all that. And I think the further we get away from this game, we're going to talk about Matt Stafford like he was one of the greats of his time.
I wonder, Key, Jay, if, like, too much water under the bridge between those early years in Detroit when he's drafted first overall and the talent was obvious, right? And he's putting up big numbers. And then, as we always do, like he, we talk about, you know, rep versus reality and the way the media frames stories and narratives, as they say nowadays. And, like, there were too many years where it started to be like, well, he puts up numbers, but he's not a winner. And then that became so entrenched that maybe some people, maybe Neek, can't quite get over that yet. Or maybe he's really seeing something that I also understand. We've seen the very best to do it. This is not quite that. Key, where do you come down on all that?
Yeah, he's not quite the very best. Even when you talk about, Jay brought up John Elway, for instance. John Elway was going to Super Bowls. He just wasn't winning them. He didn't win a Super Bowl to his 15th year. Okay, so, but he was going to Super Bowls. Matthew Stafford was not going to Super Bowls nor nearly enough playoff games and appearances in Detroit. So you start off by saying that if you took Matthew Stafford and you placed him in Los Angeles and he was numbers solid, a Pro Bowls, and win a division, make the playoffs, lose, make the playoffs, lose, miss the playoffs, win a division, make the playoffs, lose, make the playoffs, go to the NFC Championship game, lose, fire the coach, da-da-da-da, bring in Sean McVay, big numbers, they go to the Super Bowl, wins. Now you would be talking about him much differently because of how the foundation was laid. The foundation was laid a certain way in Detroit, and so now he comes to L.A., and he almost becomes a piece of the puzzle that was already laid out. Now he's the final piece to that puzzle that got them that W. And so you now trying to figure out where he fits in the history of the quarterbacks in the National Football League because of that.
You know what, Key? And we naturally do this because we're both athletes and we think this way. And I just want to make sure that I can articulate this to people listening. This is not us hating on Matthew Stafford. I mean, Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl champion, somebody who can spin the ball with some of the best of them. I just sometimes think that, you know, when you hear people get into these debates, a lot of these people haven't played and they don't recognize. There's just levels to it, man. And yeah, if you're a level below, it doesn't make you less. It just it should show how great the level above you is. Because you're talking about the elite of the elite of the elite in the world to ever have done it. And that's what kind of context you're trying to put it in.
I'll remind
people. And so when you look at it, though, Max, right? I'll do this for Jay. Take my own career, for instance. Just my own personal career. I played with about 17 quarterbacks. And I retired with close to 11,000 yards in 11 seasons. Mm-hmm. Multiple Pro Bowls, Super Bowl champion, close to 900 catches with all of those different quarterbacks. But I never, ever look at it and say to myself, well, if I played with only Peyton Manning, then I'd be the greatest. You can't look at it that way. Or if I only played with John Elway and nobody else. I deal with the cards that I was dealt, and I accept that. And Matthew Stafford was dealt with a certain amount of cards in Detroit. So you never really can get the full appreciation of what he is as a quarterback and what he was as a quarterback in Detroit because he was in Detroit.
You just said, amen. That's actually profound. Because
so I hear and I see when people say things like, oh, he wasn't good, he wasn't. It's like, you have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, it's really profound because in sports, especially in punditry and an analysis, oftentimes, like, why'd they go to Goff, off of Goff and to Stafford? Because Goff got you there. Maybe he can get you back there. Why do teams want to pick up Aaron Rodgers? Because the probability that you will succeed is higher with the better quarterbacks. Not a guarantee, but you just want to give yourself the best chance. And we get so caught up in that kind of stuff, projecting and who's in the given moment, that we don't stop sometimes to look at, this is what actually happened, right? Like, if you have two kids, they're equally bright. One goes to community college, the other goes to Harvard. after 4 years, the compounding advantages of going to Harvard makes that, you know, the kid who went there probably what we would call smarter, even if potentially that wasn't the case. But that's actually what happened. Whatever your potential, whatever your ability, whatever, your situation has an impact on you.
For sure it
and
does.
It helps shape. And in the end, we're not going to look back and say, well, he coulda, shoulda, woulda. We're going to look back at what Key just said, what you actually did with the cards you were dealt.
Yeah, but I also feel like I get the fan perspective as well, right? Because I didn't play the amount of time that Key did. And you, from a fan perspective, I do look at Key and be like, damn, if Key had played with Kurt Warner his whole career, or if Key had played with, like, if he had those numbers like that, imagine it with that. And that's what makes it hard about the historical context, because Key was also, he was a badass dude, but those numbers could have been so differently if he had a quarterback that was on his level. It is something to think about.
No, it's true, Jay. It's true, but you only deal with the cards you dealt and take advantage of that at that opportunity. Yeah. When they acquired me from the dummy New York Jets for 2 first-round picks, they knew that he was the guy that was going to get us over the hump and help us offensively win a Super Bowl. So it was worth 2 number-one picks for me to be acquired. Just like Matthew Stafford. It was worth, because Sean McVay knew that he would help him win that Super Bowl and Jared Goff couldn't. And so they made the decision to give up the 2 first-rounders and a 3rd-rounder to go get a guy to win a Super Bowl, despite people not believing that Matthew Stafford is one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL at the particular time, one of the elite 4 to 5 guys. Sean McVay didn't feel that way, Max.
Yep, and it paid off more than anyone. I think McVay had the most at stake, and now you just heard it from Key. He's 35 years old. He's been to 2 Super Bowls in the last 4 years and is already a Super Bowl champion. And when you look at the trajectory, long way to go between here and there. If he keeps this anything like this pace up, you can turn around. He could be 50 years old and in the GOAT conversation. Keyshawn, J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune in tonight for college basketball action as Kansas hosts Oklahoma State. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, let's get back to the Bengals side of this and what they're going to do going forward.
How do we best frame what the Bengals did in this playoff run and in this game?
I would call it an improbable run. They have to realize why they lost this game, that they could protect their quarterback, and they have to go get better.
Ladies in the place. And we welcome in now, boy, a guy the Bengals could really use going forward. I'll tell you what, 4-time All-Pro offensive lineman Willie Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Willie, thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
What's up, guys? What's no problem.
Man? What's up, man? You got anything left in the tank?
Nothing at all.
Running on fumes.
Fumes.
Keep it real. I love it.
So, Willie, Joe Burrow was sacked 19 times in these playoffs, still came a couple plays away from winning the Super Bowl. What can you say about who he is that he came so close while being sacked 7 last night, 19 times in the playoffs? What does that say about him?
Just that he's on the trajectory of being one of the all-time greats, if he can keep this up. Obviously, the pass protection is something that has to be addressed in the offseason. But I was one of the guys that was saying that the Bengals O-line, you know, they give sacks up, but they was giving Joe Burrow about those 15, 17 plays of him being untouched. But then, you know, and in those 15, 17 plays, he would make, you know, 6 to 8 real big throws. Just unfortunate last night, they kind of got behind the chains. I also was bragging about how well they ran the football, how well the offensive line blocked. They started to do it a little bit, but I think in the end, they kind of got away from the running game. But QBs like Joe definitely need 2 things. They need protection and they need a good running game to kind of get guys off the fast track of pass rushing them.
When T. Higgins scored his 2nd touchdown, a long one in the second half, did you think that the Bengals at that point in time, did you feel like, okay, they getting ready to burst the Rams' bubble?
Well, Key, if you check my Twitter account, at BigWillie7179, I tweeted at the halftime, I said, hey, all Bengals fans know that second half is, by the Bengals are going to go crazy. And as soon as I posted that tweet, he was throwing the ball to T. Higgins because, you know, we've all seen it the entire season. Either right before the half, Joe Burrow takes it down 2 minutes, score a touchdown, and definitely coming out of halftime, these playoff games against the Titans and the Chiefs, after halftime, they come out red hot for some reason after being kind of lethargic in the first half. So we thought the second half, that play was going to be, you know, indicative of what things going to come the entire game. But, you know, they kind of slowed it down a little bit, I think, in the running game. But in the past, the Bengals come out of the second half, and they're usually red hot coming out of the half.
Willie, there was a great article that came out a couple of days ago where it talks about Joe Burrow plays quarterback like a linebacker, right, with the physicality and the way he likes to get hit. Like, are there any concerns around his health for you, especially with the way he took that hit with his knee the other night?
First of all, Jay, when reporters write that, Keyshawn tell you that's crazy. Like, what? Not like a linebacker. Like, no. All the great quarterbacks don't want to be hit. You know what I mean? I remember guys saying the same thing about Jim Kelly. You know, I think if you ask Jim Kelly, he would rather not take those hits, those head-on collision hits. And I'm sure Joe Burrow the same kind of way. Obviously, there's some concern because, you know, he's had the knee injury last year, and I think he had, I don't know, a couple close calls this season. But, you know, the guy's a tough guy, man. I love him, and the guys love him because you never see him get up after a sack, throwing the ball down, showing his lineman up, which you see a lot of guys do that. But to me, that shows his character. But definitely, I'm sure everyone in Cincinnati is talking about, you know, the concerns upon the offensive line.
Willie Anderson, former Cincinnati Bengal offensive lineman and four-time Pro Bowler, four-time All-Pro, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. If the Bengals want to be back in this situation in a couple years, outside the offensive line, what else do they need to address?
You know, as they get older, I mean, obviously, you know, the guys in secondary they had come from different teams. They those guys played well. You know what I mean? But I'm sure the Bengals want to keep adding young depth to the secondary. I think they did a real good job of bringing in the defensive line. And just, you know, obviously the offensive line going to get, you know, either figured out either technique-wise or replacing players, I think. But, you know, just continue to build upon putting together good rosters. I said before, in 2011 through 15, the Bengals had one of the best rosters in all of football with Marvin Lewis and Duke Tobin picking the guys, but they couldn't win a playoff game. So now, just continue upon putting together a good roster and giving Joe Burrow the things he needs, whether it be a defense that's turning the ball back over to him or, you know, giving him a good running game or definitely protecting him better.
Willie, let's go on the defensive end for a minute. Where does Aaron Donald rank among the all-time great defensive players?
So my friends and I argue with it all the time. So I think he's definitely in the top five all time. The guy's unbelievable. But I can't just give, because of the records, like one of the, as far as pure pass rushers, he's top two all time. But as far as just dominant guys, like the guys back, I hate being the old guy and saying back in the day when we played, but the linemen were bigger. D linemen had to focus on more on the run game, where now it's a pass game. So the sackers, the pass rushers are going to get way more opportunities to rush the passer. With that stand, I think Aaron Donald is one of the top two guys ever played on defense. But just to say he's an all-time great, it's hard to say that because guys played in different eras. Those guys back in the day played in a running league and still put those kind of numbers up. But what he's doing right now, it puts him in, you know, definitely top eight of all-time players, period. I think as far as pass rushes, he's top two. He's fighting to be top one, you know what I mean? But the guy's unbelievable, unbelievable player.
So should he have won? In my opinion, we had Dominique Foxworth on earlier. He should have been the MVP of the game. I thought, Anderson, he was the best player in football again, the best player in these playoffs throughout the playoffs, the best player in the NFC Championship game, last two plays of the game, he sent him to the Super Bowl. Best player in the Super Bowl, last two plays on a run and a pass, he won the Super Bowl. So, yes or no, MVP?
Absolutely MVP. You know, Aaron Donald is starting to get the Michael Jordan treatment right now where he's so great that you expect it all the time and you don't want to keep giving the same guy the MVP all the time. But definitely last night, that game, when the game was on the line, yes, Cooper Kupp is a great receiver, great player, and put them up. But when they needed it, Joe Burrow was on the comeback. When they needed it, the MVP stepped up and made, you know, two unbelievable plays, second quarterback, and definitely should have been Aaron Donald for the MVP.
Was this the best halftime show you've seen? I mean, you've seen plenty of Super Bowls. Was this the best one?
I think so, man, just because of, you know, the nostalgic of it. You know, obviously Michael Jackson is ranks up there real high. But just seeing these guys, just knowing where hip-hop has come from, you know, 25, 30 years ago, even further than that, to see that hip-hop has emerged as the top brand of music, and now it's being played in the halftime, to me, it's unbelievable. To salute guys like Dr. Dre and Snoop, and those guys that, and Mary J., artists who put on for our era that's still popping, and that the NFL is kind of acknowledging that, to me, that's a real big thing in itself.
Yeah, I got to get Mary J. a new costume, though.
Come on, kid. Willie, we were talking about, like, Mary, all right, Mary. We tiptoeing that line, Mary.
She didn't do the Mary dance, though. I was kind of mad she didn't do the Mary J. dance.
Man, you know, hey, when you start to get up there in age, man, you can't do that.
Mary J.'s second album. When you have an album that good, you do whatever you want for the rest of your life.
You're right.
No doubt.
Wall to Wall is one of the best ever made. Speaking of among the best ever, that's Willie Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, four-time All-Pro offensive lineman for the Bengals. Thank you, Willie.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
All right, Big Will.
Host teams won back-to-back Super Bowls, guys. After never having done it, now it's back-to-back years. But next year's host has bigger issues than worrying about getting to the big game.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Now we have Kyler Murray. He doesn't follow the Cardinals anymore. If you are part of the Cardinals organization, what are you thinking right now?
We've given this dude everything that he needed to be successful. If he hasn't been successful, that's a him problem.
Why would you not follow your team that you play for on social media?
That last guy made a lot of sense to me. If you do that, there's a reason. You must be mad. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Next year's Super Bowl is in Arizona, guys, and the Cardinals will be looking to make it three straight years that the home stadium team wins the Super Bowl. However, first of all, you look like a deer in headlights in these playoffs. That team got waxed in their first playoff game after being the best team in football for, I don't know, more than half this season. So Chris Mortensen reported on NFL Countdown that the Cardinals have a lot of work to do between now and next year's Super Bowl. Listen.
That odd vibe you feel postseason, it's alarming. Murray is said to be frustrated with the franchise, felt like he was set up for embarrassment against the Rams in the playoffs, isn't getting enough help, whereas the Cardinals, including his teammates, think he's immature, self-centered, lacks leadership, ooh, and has a lot to fix. Ooh. He will remain with the Cardinals going forward, however. That's the plan.
Damn. Well, that sounds very familiar.
Damn.
Sounds very familiar, Key, to what you said on Burns and Gambo on Arizona Sports 98.7 last week. Listen to Key on that show.
From what I hear is that he sometimes can be a little stubbornish and little bratty at times, and when he doesn't get his way, he can, you know, he can kind of jump up and down, basically.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice.
Yeah, you were.
I didn't want to. I mean, he's already
that shows you never try
issues
to be nice.
No, it's tough. You know, having an opinion or getting information that you kind of trust the people that you get the information from, and you are hearing things, and so you try to dance around what you really want to say, you know. And look, this isn't anything new. Chris Mortensen had it yesterday on NFL Countdown, Super Bowl show. I talked about it on Gambo's show a week ago when I did the calls in Arizona. And they asked me what I thought about the situation that was going on with Kyler Murray and, you know, scrubbing his social media clean of Cardinals. And I explained to him there's maybe some contract information that he got wind of that they're not looking to exercise other than his fifth-year option and not a long-term extension, and he becomes a little, you know, kind of, I don't want to call him childish, but bratty, stubborn, wants his way, and he pouts. And this goes all the way back to college at Texas A&M. He's the, you know, pick up his ball and go home type guy because you didn't pick me with your top three picks doing pickup.
I mean, anybody who saw it happened, it kind of gives off like the attitude a little bit like immaturity to a degree. I understand things may not be going your way or you may be frustrated, but to wipe your whole social media clean, like that's something that you hear young people do in relationships, right? It's like when you're older, you're like, hey, man, that was a part of my path. That was a part of my journey. It didn't work out. You know, we had some different thoughts on things in life, and I'm moving in this direction. You can still have a very firm stance without making it extremely like, hey, everybody, I'm just angry about it. And I don't know, it's disappointing when you hear these type of reports because I don't want Kyler Murray to be that person that he's being perceived to be. Like, he's such an electrifying player. I want him to be a leader. And, you know, look, I've never spent time with Kyler Murray. I don't know. But, like, these type of things make you worry about if your quarterback's going to be the leader of your team.
Look, he's such an interesting case because I hear what you're saying, Jay. I get it. I think that when you know, watching Key in the studio sometimes, Key watching you, like, watch Kyler throw passes and knowing the quarterbacks that you played with. And sometimes when a really special quarterback makes a beautiful throw, I'll just watch Key's face. He'll be like, oh, and then he goes, it's like a handoff. It's like a thing of beauty. And he does that a lot with Kyler. And Kyler, in addition to that, is sort of the quarterback people are hoping Lamar Jackson becomes, a guy who can run around and also consistently throw those handoffs down the field, mm-hmm. right? And yet he's injury prone because he's partly because he's a little guy, and by NFL standards certainly. And I just wonder if Dan Graziano's original reaction to this is the right one. I think it is, but it's conjecture. He's not hearing something he wants to hear in his contract talks. And here's a way to get leverage. I'm not happy here. I'm not, I mean, clearly I'm not denying anything that everyone's saying about it. I'm sure that's all accurate. Or, like, you know, Chris Mortensen saying it, Key is saying it. They're not hearing it out of nowhere, right? But it's kind of like the Stafford thing. You want to say, yeah, I know what it looks like when it's the very greatest ever, and he's not it. But yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Kyler Murray, the team is looking at going, yeah, we could do a lot worse, and he checks a lot of boxes, but we're still not sure, because maybe the injuries, that we're going to commit this to him, and but this would not be his reaction. Key, to me, that sounds right.
But that's not, in all honesty, it's not Kyler Murray's fault, right? And mm-hmm. the reason I say it's not his fault, because one of the complaints is that he is the reason that they're getting these late season collapses, because he misses time, things of that nature. Well, when you drafted him, you thought he was going to grow overnight and all of a sudden be 6'5", 230? No. So it's not his fault. You knew that there was a probability of him sustaining some injuries and missing some time because of the nature of the position and the size that he is. So when he comes back and he's not doing the things that he did previously before injury, you can't all of a sudden say, well, one of the reasons is because Kyler Murray is doing this.
Yeah. I'll bet you is watching all this and is like, shut up, Kyler, just play ball. Who do you think? How about
How about Baker Mayfield?
No, Bryce Young. He's sitting Kyler, play ball. Be a good shut up. You're hurting my money. Like, they're going to look at little quarterbacks who are very talented probably and use Kyler as a cautionary tale if it doesn't work out. So every when you have a big check against you, you got to not have these other things become issues, you know?
I will stand by it to the day I die. If Cliff Kingsbury wasn't in Arizona, no matter what Kyler Murray did at the combine in college, he would have not been the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. I will stand firmly by that. It took Steve Kine, the general manager, the Bidwell family, and Cliff Kingsbury to make that decision. The other 31 teams wasn't making that decision.
Don't forget, Baker went one the year before.
Yep.
So who's going to be the number one pick out of SC going forward? Because Lincoln Riley's going to make some more of those, you think?
And if Dorsey wasn't the general manager at the time in Cleveland, Baker Mayfield wouldn't have been the number one overall pick because Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry wouldn't have selected him. And many people in the organization, when they took Baker Mayfield, did not want Baker Mayfield as the number one overall. But Dorsey decided to do it. Regardless, he didn't listen to nobody. He walked in his room, closed his door, and made the pick.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
There's a line drive throw near side, leaping to it, falling down, catch in the end zone, caught for the Ram touchdown. Odell Beckham Jr., near side of the end zone, leaping high, bringing it down. Matthew Stafford has just thrown a 17-yard touchdown pass for the Rams, who take an early lead in Super Bowl 56.
The call on Westwood One, as Odell Beckham Jr., caught the first touchdown of Super Bowl 56 to put the Rams up 7-0 in the first quarter. I'm going to get to how his night ended in a second. But first, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. So, Odell Beckham Jr.'s night ended in the second quarter. I just got when he caught that first touchdown pass and he started making catches, I'm thinking, oh, this could turn out to be a lopsided game. But in the second quarter, he suffered a non-contact injury to his left knee. By the way, the game changed after that, legit. But for Odell, he said it was all, quote, part of the plan. That's what he told CBS Sports after the game. Odell, a religious man, but he is, look, no matter what they say or do, Key, they cannot take away from Odell Beckham Jr. the fact that he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and not only that, he did it when the score was nothing-nothing, and not only that, it was pretty obvious he was going for at least one more of those that day. He looked real good at the moment of his injury, Key.
Yeah, he was going to pop for – I predicted he was going to pop for 200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He was on his way for about – he was going to probably have a 200-yard day and multiple touchdowns. It's a great story. It's a great story. Here's a guy that was raked over the coals by the Cleveland Browns and New York Giants, made people feel a certain way about who he was. And it's not a redemption story because there's no redemption to be had. But what happens in the world that we live in is people try to shape a narrative about who you are based on your style, based on the way you play the game, the passion that you have for the game. And they try to say that you're selfish and all you care about is a football. And when you don't have people there to support your case, you get put in the box like OBJ. And then he goes to Cleveland. It doesn't work out. It becomes Baker Mayfield's problem. It doesn't look good. It's OBJ on the move now. Then he goes to the Los Angeles Rams, and he helps them get to the Super Bowl and helps them win the Super Bowl with no issues at all whatsoever, nothing, not a sign in the air. Eric Yarbrough, the receiver coach, certainly told me that he told me when he got Odell in the first couple games, he said, Key, he got a lot of juice, man. I said, what you mean? He said, everybody around, the whole locker room, everything, they rock with him, but he didn't use the word rock. He used something else. And I was like, okay. He's like, man, we got to get him the ball early and often. They were 6-1 when Odell Beckham caught the football, at least 4 catches in a game. They went 6-1 early.
Yeah. Jay, Odell is a full, complete football player, too. He'll block. He'll do whatever you ask him to do. And he doesn't complain if he's not getting the ball, if you're winning, if he feels like it's working. That wasn't always the case in Cleveland. But I want to ask you something, because Key says not that he needed to be redeemed. I disagree. But it's not because, his teammates didn't like him. Everyone I spoke to, his teammates, I'm sure that he had teammates who didn't like him. This is everybody. But by and large, his teammates seemed to really like him. Coaches like the whole thing. Fans liked him. The issue for me was this. When they went on that boat trip, when he was a Giant, I said it at the time, and I even told Odell at the time. That's fine. You can do what you want to do. But here's the thing now. You can't lose the game more than because you'll be blamed. But more than that, if you drop passes and you lose the game, then the blame will be accurate.
Absolutely.
Like and he dropped 2 passes in that game that both could have, if not changed the game, certainly aided the Giants. For that, forget about all the extracurricular stuff because Odell, he's a good dude. People like him. For that, though, he needed to redeem himself because his level of talent, if the only time he made the playoffs, he's dropping passes and they're losing, partly as a result.
Yeah.
And to start that game with a touchdown pass, to me, was a huge redemption.
I don't think it's one thing. I think it's all of it. I think it's also the way sometimes, like, what bad thing can the media say now? Like, it does feel, Key, like for certain people, right? Like, for me, I wouldn't wake up today with a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. and say, well, what's this mean for his career moving forward? I know that's a natural conversation, but as an athlete, as an ex-athlete, I go into, well, damn, look how much this guy has sacrificed. He is the player that we thought he could be. Like, he's proven that. And this is what happens when you play with a quarterback who's confident like Matthew Stafford. But like natural, there will be people that will say, well, what's this moving forward? Is he damaged goods? Would he be able to still play the game? Like, that, you can't help that because that narrative is always going to be built around a guy as polarizing as OBJ. It just comes with the territory. It does.
I mean, when you have an injury or two, I don't even know what the severity of the injury is. So, you know, people assume based on what it looks like.
They'll do that, Key, without even knowing what the injury is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it looked like a serious knee injury, right? He didn't return back to the game. He kind of walked off under his own power, but it looks like things that we've seen before. I don't think that he needs to redeem himself, and I understand what you're saying, Max, in terms of the boat trip and things of that nature. If he'd have won the game, then what would you say, go on a boat trip every time? I mean, like, the boat had nothing to do. It wasn't the night before the game.
No, it's the dropping passes, though, Key.
I understand that, but that had nothing the night before the game. He didn't go on a boat trip. He went on a boat trip the weekend before the game. So has nothing to do with the game.
Yeah, they're two different things, but once you do that, people are going to be having their eye on you, especially.
And that's when I said early when we first started this conversation, there are individuals that are in news that don't protect you, that set narratives about who you are. So the first thing they say is if he didn't go on the boat trip, you'd have caught those passes. The boat trip is part of the reason we lost. Here's the reason he dropped the passes. My whole point is the boat trip was on a Saturday or a Friday or whatever day it was. The damn game wasn't until the next week. Had nothing to do with the boat trip.
That's fine. But what I'm talking about is that's the context. The redemption comes from you've only ever played in a single playoff game where you dropped passes and you lost. Now you're in the Super Bowl. And remember, when he signed, they still had Robert Woods. Then Woods got hurt, right? Well, he's not really even going to be the second option. Yes, he was. And in fact, he may have been the MVP of the game had he not gotten hurt, right? Especially if they're going to pay extra attention to Cooper Kupp. He did get hurt, but before he did, they will never be able to take away from him that he caught a pass for a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Not only that, it was the first score of the game. That's why when those tears are streaming from his face after the game, I'm sure it's wrapped up in the emotion of the knee and the whole thing. But part of that's got to be he did
it. If I was him, I'd be real petty. I'd get a duplicate ring and send it to the Browns.
Look at him. He's a guy talking about God saying it's a plan. And Key's like, I'm sending the Browns a duplicate ring.
Bottom line is, in our culture and our psyches, the bottom line is, was it Baker or Odell? One dude wins the Super Bowl, the other guy's going in the other direction. We've already drawn conclusions. Like it or not, people, that's what it is. Well, it's not fair. It's not about fair. It's about that's how the emotions work in this situation. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're back tomorrow, of course, 6 a.m.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.